encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, if you have a Bible with you. Quick note, a lot of people coming to church. We have a packed out parking lot out there, praise the Lord. Let me encourage you, since we need to get people up on the back part of the parking lot, don't block our ability to get back there, all right? We're not going to tow your car or anything like that, so. But anyway, that just will help us. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now, you would give us ears to hear, Lord, that we would not even at this time be somehow confused as to what you really want to say to us this morning. We would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your strength. We thank you for your loving kindness. Use this time now, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, today we'll talk about a subject that we're all quite expert on, and that is sin. We live in a world today that doesn't like to talk about it, likes to redefine it. Sin is what other bad people do. I have a very studied outline here, and I'm not sure how closely I'll follow it. It'll be straight from the Word of the Lord and Word of God. If I had a business and I put up signs to tell people that I'm selling ribs and they're really good, and I put on the best ribs in town, and they were voted. And I came by later and someone had smeared filth on my signs. I would be upset by that. When about several months ago we came up and somebody had their attempt to desecrate our church by graffiti that was foul and just terrible things. You know, it doesn't really impact us because we know that inside who we are. But the attempt of the person was, I want to slander, I want to somehow deface something that stands for something that I do not like. We see in Genesis chapter 3 such a thing happening. Let me read it through verse 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree, any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we shall may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it the fruit and ate, and then she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which is in the I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman who you gave us to me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Wow. I don't even really know where to start. Because we look at this and go, what idiots? What are they doing? They're in paradise. Boy, if I was there, here's what I would have done. Right? But then I look at our lives. I look at our families. I look at our church. And we have the resurrection of Christ and the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have His grace and mercy. And yet we sin. We sin even with thousands of years of examples of how foolish it is. Yet we sin. Now, what's at stake here? What's God trying to do? God created the heavens and the earth. He did that by His word. We only know that God said He did it. It was for and by Christ. It was for and by Him. He created it for His glory. So God created you for His glory, to have a relationship with you. Isn't that wonderful? Then He says He created, God created man in His image. He did create him. Man and woman did He create them. So we also know that His image is not only reflected in the individual relationship, because we all can be light, salt and light. That's what Jesus tells us. We all can reflect individually the image of God because He dwells within us. He created us. But He also says that I created you male and female. And later on we see in Ephesians that the Apostle Paul says that that is a mystery. In fact, he is trying to magnify himself and actually be a mirror of image of His goodness and glory by when we look at a married couple or a family. So the individual is supposed to be a place where God is glorified. People can say, hey, look at me. I'm a follower of Jesus. We're supposed to be salt and light. Then he says, well, I also made the family that way. Look at the relationship between the man and the woman. And that will be a reflection. Hey, look at us. Look at our family. And then it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that another way that that image now is reflected was the creation of the church itself. We are the children of God. We are His family. So the individual, the couple, God's family. I'm here to tell you that that's exactly where the devil will attack. And he's been very, very successful. He's been successful throughout the years. If I can get the individual to compromise, then I can get the couple to compromise, then I can get the church to compromise. And if we're to reflect His glory, reflect, here's what it means to be a created being of God, who His child, and to walk in Him and pointing people to the truth, the signposts that God wants us, each one of us to be, need to be very, very clear. So how you doing? How you doing in your walk with the Lord? How's your family doing? How's your relationship if you're married with your spouse? How's our church doing? And see, we go, well, I don't know, I guess I'm doing. Well, what I would encourage us to do is to learn from this. It is not about how you think you're doing. It's how the Lord thinks you're doing. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And friends, I'm here to tell you, it started right here. Adam and Eve, they thought, you know what? I know God said that, but I don't really want to do it that way. So on our own individual lives, we lust or desire something. We say, I really want that. I know God says I shouldn't have it, but I'm going to do it anyway. And we deceive ourselves by thinking that things will be okay. In our families, we say, gee, I know I should be loving my wife or my husband or my children in this way because this is what God says of how to do it. All right? This is how God laid it out. But I'm not going to do it that way because they were mean to me. You know, they didn't meet this need that I have. And so we allow our lives to be filled with stuff that is the garbage of the world that says, okay, you know, this is what God says, but here's really the solution. It's lust, it's internet pornography, it's adultery, whatever, you fill in the blank. The world says, that's okay, because you deserve it. You deserve a break today. You know. And in the church, where God has called us to be knit together, as a net, that's knit together as a body. We often can say, yeah, but if you knew, I'm going to pick on Matt because he's my friend. Boy, if you knew what Matt did to me, then you wouldn't say I'm supposed to love him because, you know, he's done this. Okay, all you have to do is say, forget what you think and just read the Bible. What does the Bible say? Just do that. Okay? And so there we are. I mean, God, I can end the sermon right now. Just do that. God spoke the universe into place. And then he spoke the word to man. Here's what I've done. All these delightful trees. Eat from all of them, but do not do this. It's very clear. He spoke the universe, and he spoke the way we are to live. Just do that. Just do that. The anatomy of the fall is this, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Notice that the enemy's first words were not, hey, how you doing, Eve? It's a lovely day, isn't it, in paradise? Straight away comes, wham. He is going after something precious to God. Eve's relationship with the Father, okay? There's something about it. I don't have a time to go through all. Why would Satan even be that concerned? And it says a serpent here. We find by reading the whole Bible that this is, in fact, Satan himself. All right? And since Satan is a spirit, an angel, I mean, the fact is he decides he's going to show up in the serpent who is very beautiful and very crafty and so on and so forth. But ultimately, it is, I'm going to go after her. Next, the woman said to the serpent, from this fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die, for God knows that in the day when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing what is good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. The tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. The word is then says, then this happened, and I don't know how much time was going on. I don't know how long this happened. It seemed to be pretty quick. Sometimes people are tempted over a long period of time. Sometimes it's a short period of time. But we know this, is that this chapter tells us that not only Eve, but Adam would eat, and it would impact them tremendously. In fact, I would say this. You have the creation of the universe by God, that this story right here is the second most important concept of all the Bible. God created us, but we have walked away from him. And we can try to redefine that any way we want. But God says that's what's happened. And the Bible really is in the history of God's salvation offered to us. culminating in the fact that Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, would come, would die on a cross for our sins, your sins, my sins, and he would raise from the dead. What does the Bible say about sin? 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Did Eve have a law from God? Yes. Don't do this. Law one. Do all of this, but don't do this. It wasn't do this, and here's 5,000 things not to do. It is here's all the wonderful things you can do, but don't do this. So lawlessness is saying, I don't really care what God says. I think I got a better idea. And that affects the image individually when you somehow think that you can fill your life with decisions that are contrary to what God has said. And it's going to come out good. We're fools. Same thing in a family. Here's what God has said. Here's how to treat your spouse. Yeah, but I don't like that because if you know what she was like or he was like or whatever, I didn't write the Bible. I'm glad. Because then it wouldn't be law. It would just be theory. It would be my thoughts. But God wrote it and he says, listen, this is how it works. And the same thing in the church, in relationships with believers. Yeah, I don't really want to, I won't write the book in my life. It would be too depressing. Is the history of church splits in Northern California. I'd go into despair. I would doubt God's existence. Boy, if God is a God and these are the people who say they believe in him, how come they just can't work it out? And you know why? Lawlessness. That's what the devil does. Hey, you know what? You know, you have every right. This person treat you like dirt, or they did this or whatever. You know, and so the issue then is that in our individual lives, in our families, and in the church, where God has desired for his image to be glorified and people to point him to his glory, man, the enemy's working. He never rests. He never sleeps in his attempt. Romans chapter 14, 22-23. The faith which you have in your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whoever is not of faith is sin. Get this. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Interesting. What does it mean to approve something? I give my seal of approval to this. Boom. But what if God says, I don't give my seal of approval to it? And we say, I don't really care if God has his seal or not. I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot. So that's what I'm going to do. And that's what we do. Individually, in our families, and in our church. This is how Satan wants us. He wants us to walk and think independently from God. No, God said it, but you know what? I don't really think that's what I want to do. James chapter 1 John 5, verse 11. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. What is that? What is unrighteousness? It is things not right. God is right. God cannot say anything wrong because he's God. So God lays out the parameters for our lives, and he laid out the parameters for Adam and Eve. And for whatever reason, they thought, you know what, it's just not that important. Yeah, the God who created the whole universe and, you know, all these things and made this beautiful place. I think I can do better. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do but does not do it, to him it's sin. So we not only have the sins of commission, we commit something, but we all have the sins of omission. God says, do this, and we don't do it. Interesting here. It tells us in verse 9 of chapter 2, and out of the ground the Lord caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, interesting, when you look at how Eve described this tree, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took and ate from it. See, God created the beauty. God created all of these things. It wasn't like, whoa, look at this. This one's extra beautiful. No. God had filled her life, their life, with beautiful, delectable things. But says, this one's off limits. And for whatever reason, Eve at the time, we must never forget that she, yes, she was created in a perfect place. She was created sinless. But get this, she was created to be connected with God. And as soon as she stepped away from that connectedness, and Adam stepped away from that connectedness, that's where the real trouble came. We begin to think, see things that God, you know, that are delightful. And God says, yeah, it's delightful, but here's what I want you to focus on. We said, no, I want to focus on something else. I have in my office a book called The Myth of the Greener Grass. I use that for marriage counseling. The myth somehow that, you know, there's got to be some better woman, better man, better something out there for me. The myth of the greener grass. Well, the myth started right here. We see here then in these passages, you know, one more, Isaiah chapter 55, 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. It really is. It's about turning to your own way. The Greek word, hamarte, is the root of it, which means it means missing the mark, okay? And God says, here's the mark. Here's what I want you to do. He said, no, I'm going to shoot at something else. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 12 and following, blessed is the man who perseveres under trials. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which has been promised to those who love him. Let not one say when he is being tempted, being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lusts. When the lusts have been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. First of all, we see here a test that Adam and Eve are going through. Now, there's been some debate as to why did they need a test, so on and so forth. I think it's a test as this. Will you depend on me? Will you walk with me? Will you believe me? And so we see this progression. That, that God do that. No, God does not tempt anyone. But he did permit this test, and there's been some, you know, a lot of conversation about that over the century. Well, why would God do that? Well, God had his purpose. He was creating for himself a people. He was creating for himself a family. And for whatever reason, this is one of the steps, and she and Adam and Eve had every possibility of saying, no, that's not what we're going to do. I often wonder, why didn't she say, you know, wait a minute, hold a second. Who are you? I know God, I know him. I know my husband, I know him. But I know these beasts because my husband named them all, but a talking snake? You know, You know, inquiring minds want to know. Why didn't she say, hey, you know, hold a second, let me go talk to God. Hold a second, let me, who my husband, who's right here, who's being very quiet. Let me get his input. And you see here the example, I mean, just tell you, one of the first things I see is an independent spirit. And that's pride. Isn't it the downfall of all of us? It's an independent spirit. No, I don't think I should ask God what he says, because he'll probably tell me, don't eat that. So don't ask. No, maybe I won't tell my spouse or the supporting people around me, because they'll tell me also. I don't. And by the way, who's that guy anyway? You know, who are they to tell me? And so here's what we have. Four things we need to learn from this passage. I got to tell you, it's got to stop right in my tracks. This is hard to preach this. Because I'd love to be able to say that I have completely had success in my battle towards sin. But I wrestle with it every day. And let me tell you, at the core of it is the temptation to have an independent spirit. And that's pride. Okay. Four principles we need to know. First, you need to know for yourself firsthand what God has said. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. Okay, this includes temptations, testings, and trials. God is faithful. He will never permit you to be tried or tested or tempted beyond all what you're able to bear. And with every trial of temptation, God will make a way of escape. It is not your way to escape, but his. And when it comes, we need to realize that the solution is listen to God. Listen to God. What he's already said. Flee what? Youthful lusts. So if you're a guy, and I don't really have a, I mean, still, I'm pretty expert on the guy thing. Okay? So if somebody's walking down the street, they look very attractive, the Bible says, do not lust after that. Take every thought captive. But if I somehow think I can have victory by not doing what God has prescribed, I'm an idiot. I'm a fool. But that's what we do. We somehow, it's just not that important. And I just got to tell you how important it is. The world's depending upon us. If you're supposed to be light to somebody and you're not, then they're in the darkness when they should be drawn to a light of Christ. As a couple, people go, boy, how are we supposed to live as, you know, in community, and they see Christians as messed up as the rest of the world, and they'll go, oh, forget that. And then they're saying that the body of Christ is supposed to reflect the totality of the risen Christ. That's what it tells us in Ephesians. And they come into church, and they say, man, what's going on here? Let me read to you what it says in James chapter 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war against your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives, so that you spend it on your own pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. And he gives us a greater grace. Therefore, God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, here's a solution. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Friends, let's just follow the directions. So the first thing is this, we need to understand for ourselves the Word of God. Next, understand from this, you don't doubt God's judgment. That's exactly what the devil wanted Eve to do. You surely shall not die. He called God a liar. God says, you surely shall die. The devil uses the exact same words. You surely shall not die. Friends, who are we going to listen to? The God who loves us and created us? Or why aren't we bright enough? Why isn't Gary Zeke bright enough to realize, hey, that's the devil. He is the destroyer of things who comes to seek to steal, kill, and destroy. We gotta be more discerning. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit. So God wants us to, we need to know ourselves that God's what God has said. Next, we need to make sure we don't doubt God's judgment. God is true. He's not a liar. Next, we don't doubt God's character. We have next the devil telling Eve, well, he just doesn't, you know, surely you won't die because he knows that when you eat this, you'll be no good, and even you'll be like him. So he's being selfish. Friends, is that, when you read the Bible, is selfishness one of the characteristics that just jumps off the page of God? No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For by grace you have been saved through faith. But here's what the devil wants to say. No, God, you cannot trust him. Trust me. Trust the world. Trust yourself. And friend, if the devil walked in here in all his wickedness, and we would be so scared. We'd go, oh, my, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. Oh, my God. We'd fall on our face. But if he shows up in a movie we shouldn't be watching on television, or a bitterness that we harbor inside because we somehow think we deserve it, that's how he comes in. That's how he destroys your life, your family. That's how he will destroy a church. Next, don't understand the destructive impact of sin. Someone said this, sin always takes you further than you ever wanted to go. This last week, a terrible accident. Somebody got an avalanche in the Sierra. A guy went off, you know, the signs, don't go this way. You ever seen those signs if you've been skiing? You know, he did. And I'm not happy that he died, but the fact is, the Lord has provided such warnings for us. Do not go here. You know what? Here's a neat thing. There are not a whole lot of signs. It's not like there's a zillion things not to do. But the fact is, the Lord says that sin destroys. And I've been alive long enough to see a person destroyed by drugs. Love people I love destroyed by just following whatever desire they want. This sounds funny, but not funny, but just tragic. I've seen churches split because they couldn't figure out what color seats were going to be. Are we going to go with the burnt orange, you know, and the olive? I'm not making this up. People leaving the Lord because they didn't get the pews the color they wanted. Shame on them. Shame on us. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does it come to destroy? We see here, it destroys their innocence. Verse 7, The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them loin coverings. Okay? Here's what it does. Here's a picture. They're hiding from God. All right? That's what it does. We kind of hide out from God. We show up for church once in a while, but we want don't crack that Bible open too much, because he'll tell us what we're supposed to do. All right? Next, it destroys our relationships with God, with others, and ourselves. Now, let me tell you, here are the things. When we teach a class on how to grow as a Christian, we talk about the Word of God, prayer, and fellowship. Friends, that would have saved the day for Adam and Eve. Prayer. Hold just a second there, devil, serpent, crafty one. Let me ask God about that. Oh, I wonder what his word says about it. Prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It would have been cleared up real quick. Let me talk to the Father about this. He's just right over here. God was not distant. God was right there. So, prayer, talking to God. Word, what he already said. Do this. Don't do this. And the other one was fellowship. God created Adam and Eve in fellowship. Hey, hold just a second. Let me clear this by my husband. Adam, hey, wait a minute. Let me, you know, even though my wife did this, I don't know if I should be doing that. God, what do you think? How's it working out for you, Eve? No, I probably won't do that myself. So the issue here, we have a breakdown of the primary disciplines as a Christian: prayer, the word, and fellowship. And here's the independent spirit. Watch this. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Don't pray, don't get in the Word, and stop coming to church. Now that, you know, that preaches right there, because that's the truth. Now, it brings us to this table. It brings us to this table because if we left it right here, you'd have Adam and Eve hiding in, you know, in their nakedness. Oh, we better get some fig leaves to put together so we're not naked anymore. Pathetic attempt to cover their nakedness. And we see here one of the first signs. It tells us that God would go. In verse 21, it says this: "And the Lord made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." The first sacrifice, I'm not sure what was killed, but it was enough to cover them up. And it set the pattern: if you want to be right, you must be right with God. If you want to be right, it must be God's way. Jesus Christ is the way. It tells us in Corinthians that we ought to examine ourselves before we take this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It tells us in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, or we make God to be a liar. It also says this, that our love, that love should be responded towards a love for God and a love for people. If you say you love God, but you hate your brother, then God's love is not in you. You know what it says in the Bible? Cling to God. Cling to the cross. Are you here today and you're wrestling with sin? You're not doing so good? The Bible from the very get-go is saying the only solution is the grace of God. He killed some little animals and made some skins and said, okay, this is going to have to do for now. And thousands of years later, Christ would die on the cross and raise again. And God forgive us for the fact that we still play with sin. We still think it's no big deal. Oh, he'll forgive me anyway. And we destroy ourselves, we destroy our families, we destroy our churches. We destroy the only hope for America. The only hope for the world is the light that comes through the reflected image of our Creator. We're going to sing. I'm going to have the guys come as we're going to share around this table. We're going to sing Just As I Am without one plea. Let's stand together. As you're singing this song, sing it as a prayer to the Lord. As we're singing this song, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing it as we take these elements. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in desperate need. We realize you. We come to you just as we are. Forgive us, Lord, for an independent spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for not just going to you in the word and in prayer and in fellowship, that we may walk in a manner worthy. We thank you, Lord, that you made a way. Lord, help us in our battle with sin to take it very seriously. You know that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse its spot, O Lamb of God, I come. We'll end there. Just stand in meditative prayer before we take this element. In fact, I ask you to sit down, please. Allow the Lord to walk through your heart. Confess to him those things. Thank him for his grace and mercy. Ask for help regarding your battle with sin, your desire for independent living. Let the Lord define that, not yourself. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. As our Heavenly Father would take the skins of some animals and sacrifice them and make coverings for their nakedness, paint a picture of years later, the perfect Lamb of God, the blood of Christ covering for our sins. We won't deserve this, but when we get to heaven, it won't be the list of all the wonderful things you've done. God may bring that up later. In fact, he will. Here's what he will see. He will see the blood of the perfect Lamb of God covering every fault and error and mistake, even sins of commission and omission, by his grace. Let's sing these next two stanzas.
Just as I am and tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, that will receive, will welcome pardon, cleanse, relief, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
What would it be to be in a place, a county, a church, that determined beyond all things that we will walk in holiness before the Lord? We will keep a short account with God. We will take sin seriously. The blood of the Lamb. God made a way. He always has had one. And the way is to cling to the Lord. Cling to Christ. Let us do this in remembrance of him. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? We encourage you on the way out, a benevolence offering for those in our church who need special help, and others who come by. Let me encourage you this. You need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in prayer. And you must stay in fellowship. That's what God has given us, to protect us so we may walk in a manner worthy of what he's done. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and love and mercy. We ask now, Lord, as we go from here, that we go in your grace. We go filled with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to live lives that bring glory to you. Help us in our individual walk. Help us in our families. Help us in our church, Lord, to reflect well your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. Come back tonight if you can.